The Pulse, WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and I'm your host, John Fowler. So glad to have you tuned in today, and very special guest today, author of verse-by-verse poetry and prayer devotional. And we have Becky White today, who is the writer of this book, and also she is an artist and a graphic designer from the hills of West Virginia. How'd you end up, like, here? Are you from here?
I am.
You are from here?
I was born in Huntington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I grew up first 10 years of my life in Florida. We moved down there when I was 9 months and then moved back to West Virginia. I've been here most of the time since.
I love Florida. What part of Florida?
Naples.
Naples, Florida. Mm-hmm. We spend time in Daytona. I love Daytona. And with the weather like last week, I was like ready.
Yeah.
It's like, Christy, let's go. Let's go. So anyway, we have Becky White here today. Also, she's one of the co-hosts of Rooted, which is on this network. And so you can catch the podcast. You just got to look for them. But they're on there. And y'all have any plans on any
we
soon?
Do. Yeah. I have one that's already, it's already
done.
Recorded. Yeah. I just need to finish editing it. And then we have another one that we're planning on trying to record this week. So,
are you? That's awesome. I can't wait to hear them. We're talking today about a new book. Let me see that just a second here. So I can show it. And, I haven't got my copy yet, but it's coming, right?
It's
coming. So verse by verse and poetry and prayer devotional. And this is a year-long journey through the verses of the Bible and through prayer. So we're going to get into this today. And it's also, you can get your copy on Amazon and just search for the book, and you can be able to have it in just a few days, especially if you are Amazon Prime. So, you know, you can get it really quick. So, Becky, let's talk about this book. And this is not something that you had on your bucket list to do, was it?
No.
And
no.
How did this all? I mean, how long has it been that you've been working on this, and the Lord began to speak to you about it?
So, it would have been about December, January, a year ago. So it would have been like December 22. Early January 23, that I kept feeling like God was saying, like, you need to just start writing. I had no clue what I was going to write. No clue. I talked to my husband about it. I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to be writing. Like, I think I need to quit my job and just start writing. And he was like, no, we can't do that. And I was like, that's probably wisdom. So I talked to Jay, and he was like, just write. Like, if you feel like God's leading you to write, write. And so I started writing, and I've written probably 5 or 6 little children's stories that I haven't done anything with except for write the stories. And then I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, this doesn't feel like what I'm supposed to be writing. And so I would get this thought process that I couldn't let go of. Like, it is finished as a poem in here. And like that line just kept going through my head when I was reading scripture, and couldn't get away from it. So I'd write notes, and then all of a sudden I start having a poem. And so then I had ended up with like 30 poems, and I'm like, maybe I'm supposed to do something with these poems. And so I started reading the poems again and praying over them. And then I felt like I needed to pair prayer with the poetry. Each poem is directly scripture related. And so I started writing prayers to go with them. Ended up with 50 of them.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this is probably enough for a book. And I was like, well, I'm going to turn this into, some sort of devotional or something. And Annie was like, you know, if you have two, Annie Beckett from Winfield, she was like, you know, if you add two more, you have a whole year.
Wow.
And I was like, that's true. And so I wrote a couple more, and then started doing layout and design.
And the rest is history on that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about it, it seems like when I started researching your book before, you know, we did this interview, one of the things that I liked about it is that it's not a fast paced book.
No.
You know, it's more so of, and you can get into it. So there's 52 prayers and poems.
Mm-hmm.
which means that you can take some time there and have the whole week and be able to. So how's the layup of that layout of the book so that people will know so that they can get it on Amazon? So how did you do it? And did you do it just for that reason to say, hey, okay, life is fast paced. We don't want God to be fast paced here and trying to learn his word, you know? So it's like, how do we do it?
Yeah. So I don't know. So you have your poem, and then directly after the poem is the prayer. And so my goal was, okay, you read the poem, you read the prayer, and then you need to have some foundation for where this came from. And so I created the scripture references to go with it. And then this copy was misprinted without the reflection questions, but there will be, there are reflection questions in the actual book, which will guide you through things to study through the week. I cannot do a daily devotional. Like, my brain just does not do it. And then I get overwhelmed. And then I'm 2 weeks behind in the devotional because I'm overwhelmed and I try to catch up. And it just doesn't work that well for me. And so this is kind of written for people who need to take it a little slower.
I noticed you had the one Holy Ground. Mm-hmm. So if you could, is that one of your favorite ones?
My favorite is It Is Finished.
It Is Finished. Mm-hmm. Can you find that one? Mm-hmm. And then while you're finding that one, if you can read some of that, because just kind of help people learn the format. But one thing about it that this book offers, it's a source of comfort. Not only that, wisdom and peace. And it's meant to for you to dissect very slowly and to be able to learn from heaven. One great thing about it, and Becky, I think you and I were talking about this, that I can spend like one day on or 1 week on one scripture. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you get stuck. And so, like you say, then the next thing you know, it's the first of the year and everybody has these resolutions and they say, well, you know, I can keep up. And then next thing you know, you're 12 days behind and it's like you just can't seem to keep up. So this one is called what?
It Is Finished. So you want me to just read it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you wrote this poem, the poems and everything?
Yes.
This
is
poems, awesome.
The prayers, and I even did the layout and design of the book and did my own cover and
it looks
everything.
Awesome.
Thanks. It is finished, the burden of sin carried, the weight of guilt lifted, every shameful act, every whispered lie, forgiven, washed away in the final breath of grace. It is finished, the chains of bondage broken, freedom for the captives, every addiction, every fear, released into light, a promise of new life. It is finished. The wounds of betrayal healed, the scars of hurt mended, every tear, every heartache, touched by the divine, restored by love's embrace. It is finished. The gap between God and man bridged, the veil torn asunder, every prayer, every plea, heard and answered, a path made clear to the Father. It is finished. The power of death defeated, the grave's sting removed, every mourning, every sorrow, transformed in the hope of resurrection, life eternal assured. It is finished. The debt of sin paid in full, the law fulfilled, every transgression, every failure, covered by the blood, grace overflowing. It is finished, the story of redemption complete, the prophecy fulfilled, every promise, every covenant, sealed in the sacrifice, the Lamb's victory proclaimed. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the final word of love, the culmination of his mission, our salvation secured, the world forever changed.
Wow. Where'd that come from? Was that a situation in your life? Or, I mean, is some of the poems about things that you've gone through in your life or just inspired by heaven? That's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of a combination. We all go through a lot of the things that are outlined here. My brother has gone through addiction. We worked in a homeless ministry and sold a lot of things for quite a while, and all of that is covered by the blood. Amen. All of that is taken care of at the cross, and we just have to accept that. And that line, "It is finished," in Scripture just stuck with me, and I could not get over it. So my notebook would say, "It is finished," and then I just started writing a list.
Wow.
And so then, then eventually this poem was produced.
So when somebody, the first thing you do is you read the poem, and then at that point, you have a devotional that goes with that. And then there's a thing, and then there's part of it to where you can go in and have questions and be able to write answers and meditate on. So what's the next,
right.
after you read the poem, what do you do next?
So next is the prayer that goes along with the poem. So you would read that over yourself, meditate on that prayer. And then throughout the week, there is there's scripture to review. And so there's a list of scripture for you to look at. You can go back and look at those sections of scripture and review them in relation to the reflection question. That's kind of how I have it set up, is like you read the reflection question, you go then look at scripture based on that question. And then how I study is I start breaking down words and stuff like that. Not everybody studies the same way. But I wanted to leave that open to how you feel comfortable studying. So I just, created some pages for you to write your own notes, your own thoughts, whatever comes to your mind as you're studying those scriptures based on that.
So when somebody, gets the book, and this will help, it's entitled Verse by Verse, Poetry and Prayer Devotional. And we have Becky White in the studio today, and we're talking about her new book that is just released at Thanksgiving. And you can get your copy on Amazon and be able to also follow her on Facebook so that you can stay in touch. Has anybody reached out to you with, say, "Hey, this one really helped me," or "I really was going through something, and this one"? What kind of testimonies do you have so far of people that are?
I don't have a ton. I have a lot of people reaching out and saying that they've ordered the book for, their cousin, their aunt, their grandmother, their sister, that kind of thing for Christmas, that they're excited to start it in the new year. So I think a lot of people are waiting until January to start it because it is 52 weeks.
Right.
The few people that I know who have read it have told me that there are certain poems that hit them stronger. Probably based on season of life or where they are spiritually.
So, mm-hmm. So the prayer, can you read one of your prayers?
Sure. Do you want me to read the prayer to go with?
Yeah, to go with that. Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come before you with our hearts full of gratitude for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we reflect on the words, "It is finished," we are reminded of the immense love and grace poured out for us. Lord, we thank you for carrying the burden of our sins and lifting the weight of our guilt. We are grateful for the forgiveness and cleansing that comes through your final breath of grace. We praise you for breaking the chains of bondage and setting us free from every addiction and every fear. Thank you for the promise of new life and the light that dispels the darkness. Father, we seek your healing for our wounds of betrayal and the scars that have hurt. Touch every tear and heartache with your divine love and restore us in your embrace. We rejoice in the bridge that you have created between us and you, tearing the veil and hearing every prayer and every plea. Guide us on the clear path to your presence. We celebrate the defeat of death and the removal of the grave sting. Transform our mourning and sorrow into hope of resurrection and assurance of the eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for paying the debt of our sins in full and in fulfilling the law. Cover our transgressions and failures with your overflowing grace. We honor you for completing the story of redemption and fulfilling every prophecy and every promise. Seal us in the victory of the Lamb and proclaim your triumph. In Jesus' name we pray.
Wow. I feel the Spirit of the Lord on that prayer. It's just an awesome thing. When you wrote this book, and I mean, you get to deal with the things that go on in people's lives on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about what is going on in the world today and how bad there is such a need for a savior in the world today, what are you seeing? What do you think is wrong with some of the things with children, some of the things that are going on in adults' life? I know it all goes back to Jesus, but what's your thoughts?
It all goes back to love. The majority of things that we go through or people deal with, it's because of lack of love, lack of empathy. Hurt is caused by hurt, and if we don't break that cycle and introduce love into it, then it's just going to continue. And, you know, even you look at human trafficking, you can look at foster care, you can look at literally anything, addiction. It's all centered around hurt and pain, anxiety, fears, that kind of thing. And love overshadows all that. We know ultimately God is love. And so God will overshadow all those things, but we have to show that to the world. And so it can all be fixed with love.
So there is a lack of love within the home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lack of home within children. I mean, I've heard, you know, young children, I hate you. I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like this word hate. And I'm thinking, that just totally goes against God.
Mm-hmm. It's a harsh word. Thaddeus has even called me out on it because I'm like, we don't say hate. And so he's like, that's a bad word, Mom, if I say it. And even, and my goal with saying we don't say hate to him is, you know, I don't want him to say it in a way that's going to harm others. You know, but I'll randomly be like, I hate that this didn't work or whatever. And you know, meaning I dislike it. And he'll be like, Mom, that's not a nice word. I mean, God uses kids to call us out on things as well. And so he keeps me in check. I keep him in check. And, you know, we try to speak as much love as we can.
Is this book towards helping men and women, or is it more towards women that are reaching out to you over this, or what's your thoughts?
I think the majority of people that I know have purchased it, that have spoken to me about it, have been women. That doesn't mean it's only for women, because there's definitely, like, I mean, it's all biblical. There are some poems in here that are directly related to women of Scripture. There's one called the Women of the World Word, and it literally goes over Eve and Sarah and Rachel and Rebecca and Esther and Mary and like all of them. So it's a rather long poem, but I do believe there's a lot here that men can gather from as well. It's just you're going to look at it from a different perspective.
All right. Now, your background in your education, talk a little bit about you for a minute and let people know who you are and as much as you want to say, but as in how this book came about and how you know it's going to help people, because I was here or I was there or this is what I do for a living. You know, what if I said describe you, how would you do that?
So I guess I am a graphic designer, which doesn't sound like I would be somebody writing a book, but that is what my degree is in. I have always worked nonprofit. And so as a nonprofit marketing person, it's not just graphic design. So I have been doing all, blog writing, website design. I do a podcast for my work. And with that, my job centers around children and families in the state of West Virginia. And so we take in all the foster adoptive referrals, walk people through that process, get them connected so that they can begin the foster care process in their home. And then we also have a teen pregnancy prevention program where we're out in middle schools and high schools. And we don't just talk about pregnancy. We talk about all the things, all the struggles that teens go through. We talk about communication and, communicating with yourself and your partner and your parents even, and goal setting and all the things that could lead to potential pregnancy. And so we talk about all that with kids, and so majority of our staff is social workers, and we have mentors and therapists on staff that work with students that are going through tough times. And so I have all that social work training at the same time. Mm-hmm. I have been trained on all the same things that all the social workers in the office have been trained on. And that's just to ensure that I know what I'm doing in the job, especially like if I'm working with teenagers as well. And there's a lot of hurt. Kids are going through a lot. You would be surprised some of the stories that we have heard in my office without disclosing youth or whatever, from, youth actually disclosing human trafficking directly to us getting them connected to the appropriate authorities to make sure that they're taken care of. Sexual assault on a regular basis is disclosed. Abuse within the home. There will be drug use and forcing of drug use and various things. And then just some crazy, crazy stories that you would never think that any human should or could even go through have been disclosed to us. And so seeing that regularly is hard. Mm. And I think a lot of times when I hear these stories or whatever, I focused, especially in the beginning, I tried to focus more on the negative because I was just so hard to hear. You hear these negative things and you're like, this is just never going to get better. Why am I even doing this? And you just live in that turmoil. Mm. And then at some point, I was like, I can't focus on the negatives. We started seeing some, I started seeing some positive stories. I've been there for 6 years now. And after a little bit, I started hearing the positive impact we were having. And I was like, wait, so just because they've gone through this doesn't mean that's who they are. These are circumstances these children have gone through or these people have gone through. It's not who they are. And I tried to look at things the way that God sees them. And so I don't really even know how to explain it, except for I just started looking at things more biblically, more like Jesus. And so seeing the struggles that people have gone through, but seeing their potential and the positive outcomes that could be there if we love them and support them the way that they need to be loved and supported. And so I think that all kind of helped with this. I have to write for a living. My dad taught me the love of poetry as a kid. I did have a poem published in a book when I was about 6 or 7 years old in Florida, when we were living in Florida. It was about my dog, Pepsi. And it was all it was about him. But I don't even know what book that was published in or where it is at this point. I've never seen a physical copy since I was a kid, and my dad's passed away, so there's no way to get that information. But he instilled the love of poetry in me, but he's also the one that guided me to the Lord. And so he also instilled the love of God in me and the love of people. He lived that out daily, and my life has always been trying to replicate my dad because I feel like he replicated Jesus.
Wow. And when you go deep down into who Becky really is and what Becky feels like God wants you to do, how close are you to saying, okay, I feel like that I'm in the center of God's will, or I got to work on this a little bit more? The book's part of it, but mm-hmm. It's like, okay, when you go deep down, what is God's really telling you that you need to do?
That is a really hard question.
I get it a lot.
It's like, I feel like God's just telling me to love people where they are in general. Like, I feel like he's like, hey, certain people are going to need you to love them through something. They're going to need you to love them despite what they're going through or what their actions are. And we aren't called to judge. We're not called to, like, force people out of doing what they're doing. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to love people and to show them the love of Christ. And I feel like that's the ultimate thing that I'm supposed to be doing. I do feel like writing is part of it. I feel like I write better than I speak. And so I can get my feelings across on paper a whole lot better than I can verbally. And I feel like some people need to read things in black and white. And so I feel like that's why God has called me to start writing.
All right. When you think about what we're talking about today, we're talking about a book that is entitled Verse by Verse, Poetry and Prayer Devotional. It's a year-long journey in verse and prayer, written by Becky White, who's with us today. 52 poems and prayers that will help you and to deepen your relationship with him being God. And each poem has a part of a theme, but as well, it allows you to meditate and it allows you to get comfort and wisdom and peace as you go through the process of this book. Before we go, can you do one more?
Sure.
Yeah, one more of the devotions and then one of your prayers.
You want me to do another poem?
Sure.
All right. Well, I opened up to Holy Ground, so how about we do Holy Ground?
Sure.
Okay. In the wilderness, among the ancient rocks and desert winds, a shepherd walked, staff in hand, eyes searching the horizon, when the fire caught his gaze, a bush, burning but unconsumed. Flames dancing like whispers, called out his name. Moses, Moses, a voice both strange and familiar, echoing in the silence. He drew closer, heart pounding, feet hesitant on the sacred ground, and the voice commanding yet gentle, spoke again. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for this place where you're standing is holy ground. Hands trembling, he unbound the straps, letting leather fall away, feet touching the earth, bare and vulnerable, feeling the pulse of divinity through the dust and the stone. He stood, barefoot, on holy ground, heart wide open, spirit laid bare, before the flame that did not burn, but illuminated, casting shadows of purpose upon his soul. I am the God of your fathers, the voice declared, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses, face hidden in his hands, felt the weight of destiny, the burden of freedom, the call to lead, etched in fire and spoken in silence, there, barefoot on holy ground. In that moment, time paused, and the desert witnessed the birth of a prophet, a man who would walk, not by the light of ordinary flames, but by the fire of the divine calling, his steps forever marked by the ground he stood upon, holy and unforgotten.
Wow. And then there's a prayer with it?
Yeah. So the prayer says, Dear Heavenly Father, as I meditate on this encounter between Moses and the burning bush, I seek your wisdom and revelation to uncover the sacred truths within these verses. Just as Moses walked in the wilderness, I too walk through deserts in my own life, often searching and uncertain. Guide my steps and help me recognize the holy moments when you call me out. Even in the most unexpected places, open my eyes to see the divine in the ordinary and the sacred in the mundane. When Moses saw the burning bush, he was drawn closer, intrigued by its flames that did not consume. Teach me, Father, to approach you with the same awe and reverence. Let my curiosity lead me deeper into faith and my faith to greater understanding. Help me to recognize your voice, both strange and familiar, calling me by my name and drawing me near to your presence. You commanded Moses to remove his sandals, for he was standing on holy ground. In the same way, help me to shed my own barriers and my own defenses, to stand before you in the vulnerability and openness. May I feel the pulse of your divinity through the very ground beneath me, grounding me in your love and your purpose. As Moses stood barefoot, heart wide open before the flame that illuminated rather than consumed, may I too be illuminated by your truth. Let the light of your presence cast away the shadows of doubt and fear, revealing the purpose you have etched upon my soul. Grant me the courage to embrace my calling, no matter how daunting it may seem. You declared yourself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reminding Moses of our heritage of faith that he carried. Remind me, Lord, of the legacy of my faith and that I am part of it, and of the responsibility I bear to carry forward. May I, like Moses, feel the weight of destiny and the burden of freedom, knowing that you're with me every step of the way. In that sacred moment, the desert witnessed the birth of a prophet. Let my life be a testament to your divine calling, my steps forever marked by the holy ground upon which I stand. May I not walk by the light of ordinary flames, but by the fire of your divine calling, ever faithful and true. In Jesus' name I pray.
And amen. Get your copy today on Amazon, verse by verse, Poetry and Prayer Devotional, A Year-Long Journey in Verse and Prayer by author Becky White of the Winfield Pulse Church. And so glad to have you here today. 52 poems and prayers that will change your life and help you to build your relationship with Jesus Christ. Becky, it's been a privilege you being here.
Thanks.
Get your copy today on Amazon and start. You have time. You have time because you've got a few days before the beginning of the year, and who cares if it's January 3rd when you start, right? You can start in the middle of the year because it's a year-long 52-week Palms and Prayer, one per week. Thank you for being a part of the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. Please share, like, and subscribe, and also download our app. It gives you access to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, music, preaching, and teaching, some of the best this side of heaven. This will also be on there as well, and you can download it on your Android or your Apple device, the Pulse WV Live. Any final comments?
We have communion tonight at 4 o'clock at the Pulse Winfield.
That is tonight.
From 4 to 5:30, drop in. Jay and Sam will be doing candlelight communion about every 20 minutes. So it's drop in, stay as long as you want, leave. And Sam makes challah bread.
Yes. She's awesome.
However you say that. Yeah. It's delicious. Yep. So come get a loaf.
Absolutely. Oh, there's loaves.
Oh, yeah. She makes loaves, and you get to take them home.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, no delicious. Doubt about it. I didn't know that part. So, so make sure that you attend the Winfield campus today, 4 to 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. And if you would like to give to the ministry of the Pulse Church, you can do this for Winfield. You could text the word Pulse to 1-304-244-3187. Go to thepulsechurch.com and give through PayPal or mail your love gift to 53 68, State Route 34, Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live. Please share, like, and subscribe, and listen for the next edition on Christmas Day. Be tomorrow. I'll do one tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for watching and listening, and have a great day.